Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Not Exodus. Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. Chapter 16. The last time we finished up the first section, and it was the section that we were looking at that God was pronouncing the condition that Jerusalem was in when he looked upon his love, not only with his love, but with compassion. And the benefits of his looking upon a people in love and in compassion is that he beautifies them. He beautifies them with his beauty. Jerusalem was made to be his wife, his bride, entered into covenant relationship with him. He made her beautiful, and when you think of a nation being beautiful, how do you think of them being beautiful? Well, God spelled it out here in these verses, and showering ornaments, jewelry, jewels, gold, silver, and not only gold, silver, and precious jewels, but she was a land flowing with milk and honey. She was a land of abundance. And so God's blessings were definitely upon her, and he reiterates all that with Jerusalem. But now we've come to a section where we would say that she left God, she adulterated, she forgot God and all his goodness to her, and she sinned mightily against the one whom she was betrothed to. And that's what we have here, at least in verses 15 through 34, spelling out her great sin. Let's read verses 15 through 34 tonight. But thou didst trust, see the but? I did all of this for you. I made you beautiful. I made you beautiful in that I gave you precious jewels, gold, silver, and the finest food to eat. I even give you a name among the nations. I did all this for you. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty and placed the harlot because of thy renown and poured out thy fornication on every one that passed by. His it was. And of thy garment thou didst take and decked thyself or thy high places with divers colors and placed the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which had given thee, and madest thyself images of men and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookst thy broidered garments and coveredst them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured, unto those gods which they created, those idols which they created with their gold and silver and jewels. I lost my place. Well, really lost my place now, excuse me. Thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? Unthinkable, isn't it? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. See, he's reminding them again of the condition they were in when he loved them. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptian, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee. The daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldee, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire. Interesting, huh? But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms. Whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredom, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore, thou art contrary. So, the first thing we want to consider in this section tonight, and I don't know how much we'll get into it, is their sin. Their sin. Why were they drawn away? Can you understand that? The question I ask is, why were they drawn away to idolatry? Why were they drawn away from God? Why were they drawn away from the one who so richly loved them and did all of this for them? And yet we just read of how horrible, how despicable they treated him. Why were they drawn away to idolatry? A virgin that had so much love, had so much compassion, so much care that was showered upon her. How? How could she become so corrupt, so evil, so wicked? I think it was in verse 25 we read her wickedness. And then in parentheses it was, whoa, whoa, because of her great wickedness is pronounced upon her. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. And she was even warned of the condition that you find that she has come to, and then the condition that she's gone into. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses warned them from God. In chapter 4, and in verse 7, we read this: for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is? In all things that we call upon him for. What other nation has God so great on their behalf? No other nation in the days of Israel. There was no other nation that had God so great and showered so great a blessings upon them as God did upon Israel. Verse 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? I mean, what other nation that is so great had God's law and commandments delivered unto them There's no excuse. And God says so here. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He says, take heed, because you're liable to forget them. I don't want you to forget them. So take heed to these things and teach them to yourselves, teach them to your sons and to your sons and to your sons' sons. The next section goes on to tell how they were to do that. But let's skip down now to verse 15 and find out the reason why they're to take heed and teach them to themselves and to their sons and to their sons' sons. He said in verse 15, he says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Hey, you didn't see no idols when God ascended upon Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb as he calls it here, when God ascended upon it and he spoke to you out of the mountain, you didn't see any images made like unto man or four-footed beast or creeping thing. You didn't see no similitude to that, or fowls in the air or fish in the sea. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance. They are this day. So God told him, God warned him. He said, take heed to these, take heed to my commandments, to my laws. Don't forget them. How do you not forget them? By teaching them to your sons, by teaching them to your sons, by teaching them to your sons' sons. That you forget not what God, what I have done for you, he says. Now Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in verse 1, we read all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto you, unto your fathers, All these commandments, all these laws, all these things that I've given unto you, and you've entered into contract with me, into covenant with me. I want you to observe, to do. Now down to verse 11. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which command thee this day. That tells us something, doesn't it? If Israel would forget the Lord God by not keeping his commandments. God says, if you don't keep my commandments, if you don't obey my commandments, then you've forgotten me. Does he say that to us? He sure does. This Old Testament scripture was written for our examples. They're to be impressed upon us. What we read concerning Israel. Jesus told his church in John 14 and 15, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's that say if we don't keep his commandments? If we don't keep his word? We don't love him like we should, do we? Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten, here we come. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Isn't that what God did for him? He caused her gold and silver to be multiplied. He caused her cattle to be multiplied. He caused her food upon her land to be multiplied. Just as he said. He made her beautiful. He gave his beauty. It was of doing. It was of his work that he put upon her. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, there's a danger of that. When I increase your beauty, when I increase your food and your silk gold and your silver and the wealth, and there's a danger of your heart being lifted up with pride. And you're forgetting the Lord your God, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. Oh, here we go. You see, she's lifted up with pride. She forgot the Lord. Lifted up with pride, and she goes after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You see, the people of the land which they were getting ready to go in and possess, the land which they possessed, the land which God gave to them, the people that he drove out before them, they were a godless people. They were a wicked people, steeped in idolatry and all kinds of immoral practices. And he tells Israel here that if you forget the Lord your God, you're lifted up with pride and you go after other gods, be assured that I, the Lord your God, will cause you to perish, just as those nations which were in the land before you. We've already mentioned tonight that these things were our examples. We have a well-known passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, that reiterates much of what we've read and have already said. We want to read that now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, begin with verse 1. And moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. They followed the cloud during the day and the cloud of fire by night, under the cloud. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Christ Jesus supplied their every need. I say to you tonight, if you're saved, Christ Jesus has supplied your every need. He's the rock from which you drink. He's the rock from which you eat. He feeds his people. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things. They also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. God was angry with them. Neither let us tempt Christ. Some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. Do we murmur? We got a song for the kids. We're kids, right? Grumblers. Remember that song? Grumble every day, don't we? Neither murmur, yes, some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them, but recorded for examples, for impressions. That's what the word means. It means like a stamped impression. As we read these things concerning Israel in the Old Testament, gone through and seen Israel in the book of Ezekiel. As we read it here in 1 Corinthians 10, these things that he reiterated that happened unto them in their wilderness wanderings. Did it impress you? Does it impress you? Is it stamped? And in your mind, all of these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, sometimes we think, oh, I don't know how they could do that. I mean, God did so wonderfully for them. God did so wonderfully for them. And not only did God do so wonderfully for them, we're reading in Deuteronomy, after that God did so wonderfully for them, hadn't yet given them the land, but brought them out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea, fed them in the wilderness for those 40 years, gave them water to drink, and food from heaven. And then God warns them. You pay attention to my law and my commandments. You write them upon your heart. Put them upon the doorpost of your house. Have them be as frontlets down over your eyes. In other words, memorize them. Commit them to memory. That you forget them not. And teach them to your children and to your children's children. God did all that for them. And we say, how stupid could it be? Oh, how stupid can we be? Don't we realize that God has done the same for us? He loved us with a great love. And because of his great love, he's so merciful to us. And he's caused us to shine and to be beautiful. We're in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 2. We're monuments, we're trophies of his marvelous and wonderful grace. And how can we love him so little as to forget to forget his commandments and not to obey them? And so he tells us, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, I've come to the realization that I need to, every day, all day, every moment, I need to take heed lest I fall also. Shall we pray?